Me in prayer. Almighty God, we ask that you would bless the reading and the proclamation of your word. Help us to enter into the life of our brothers and sisters who are suffering abroad as we hear this passage that proclaims that that all people, all of God's people, suffer persecution of some sort if they would but stand up and proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We are dedicating this entire day of service to praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering at the hands of unbelieving communities and oppressive governments. Not only is our worship service dedicated to praying this morning, but we have called off our youth meetings this afternoon. We've called off our small groups this afternoon. Jimbo will be over in College Hill preaching up a storm, however. But we've called off these meetings in order that we might gather together at 6 p.m. over in the fellowship hall and pray for those who are suffering because of their testimony for Jesus Christ. For 17 years running, North Korea is the leading nation for persecuting Christians. In preparation for this sermon, I read several accounts of defectors who had escaped from North Korea and read of their stories. One man told of a story that was printed in his school textbook while he was growing up. And the point of this story in the textbook was to teach the small children to be scared of Christian missionaries. And so the story goes like this. A boy lived with his mother in a village in Korea. One day he was carrying firewood from a mountain. He was passing by a missionary man's apple orchard. All of a sudden, a strong wind blew through the orchard and apples dropped on the ground. The boy picked up an apple and the missionary man saw it. He yelled at the boy and called him a robber. As punishment, the man tied the young boy up and used chemical acid on the boy's forehead to burn the word robber onto his head. The boy died because of the acid. He also went on to say that the teachers in his school used to pray to the leaders of the nation at lunchtime. He said that we had to give thanks to the dictators for our daily bread. He said he now realizes that they stole this from the Lord's Prayer. Another Christian who escaped from North Korea said that if parents were caught evangelizing their children, then three generations of that family would be killed or put in prison. One question that typically runs through my mind as I prepare for this sermon each year as we observe the day of the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church on the first Sunday of November. This question runs through my mind. Why would God allow His children to be persecuted? You know, I try to imagine what it would be like for me as a Christian parent to live in North Korea and to evangelize my children with the threat of them and either my parents or their children being put to death or put in prison. Why would God allow the persecution of Christians? I believe our passage directly answers this question. There are other answers that could be given as well, but the answers here in Matthew chapter 10 are very straightforward. When Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to preach and announce the arrival of the kingdom of God, He fully expected them to encounter persecution. He expected this because he knew that he was sending them out to preach the gospel among people who would reject their message, and not only reject their message, but mistreat the messenger. Look how he phrases it in verse 16. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." He's sending them out as helpless sheep among a pack of ravenous wolves. I don't know if y'all have seen this cell phone commercial that they run during the football games where I guess these water buffalo or whatever are crossing this river and the alligators are biting at them. You know, and it's kind of funny. But that's the mental picture I have of this verse as Christ says he's sending us out as sheep, as helpless sheep among ravenous wolves. He told them in verse 21 that they would be betrayed by their nearest relatives. And in verse 22, that they would be hated by all people for his name's sake. At this point, I should make two practical observations. First, human nature is far more corrupt and wicked than we often think. We live in a culture where society still holds some respect for Christians. We don't live in North Korea. As a pastor who tries to minister within the business community, I'm always welcomed and accorded a great deal of respect simply because I'm a pastor. Jimbo's also given tremendous respect over in College Hill because he's a Christian pastor. But that's only a veneer that will wear then very quickly as people are called to repent of their personal and deeply held sins. People don't mind repenting in general, it has been my experience. But to call them to humble themselves by owning their specific sins before God, and we are likely to be rejected quite vigorously. Jesus did not underestimate the true corruption and wickedness that exists in the human heart. In John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, we read, "Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he knew what was in a man." Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 testifies that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." A non-Christian can do many wonderful and loving things, but when it comes to submitting himself or herself to God, it will never happen apart from divine grace, because the human heart is so deeply opposed to God. If probed expertly by the law of God, the true essence of fallen human nature will break forth from underneath the veneer of counterfeit and fruitless repentance. Jesus was not exaggerating when he told his disciples that he was sending them out as helpless sheep among ravenous wolves. Let me ask you, I think it's appropriate at this point to raise this question. Are you a sheep that belongs to Jesus Christ? Or are you a wolf, maybe in sheep's clothing? Has God's divine grace drawn you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the divine grace drawn you to the cross of Christ, where you can find forgiveness of sins, where you can find true righteousness to stand before God as his adopted child, where you can find a transformed nature that loves Christ supremely? Are you a sheep that loves Christ? Or are you not? Do you put on the sheep's clothing? Act like Christ around the edges. Jesus said, many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will do many wonderful works, even miraculous works. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. What are you? A sheep or a sheep in wolf's clothing? Has your nature been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? This observation that human nature is far more corrupt and wicked than we often think leads to a second practical observation. When we strike out to preach the gospel or to share our faith with a coworker or a neighbor, or Thanksgiving's coming up with a relative, we must moderate our expectations. We will set ourselves up for great disappointment if we think that universal success will attend our efforts. Rather, we must count the cost and understand that we will meet with much opposition if we are going to faithfully share the gospel of our Lord Jesus. J.C. Ryle says that Christians determined to be useful in proclaiming Christ must make up their minds to be hated, to be persecuted, and ill-used, and that by their nearest relations. In other words, Christians determined to share Christ will often find themselves like sheep in the midst of wolves. Christ has left us here on earth to display his love to a lost and dying world. One of the most compelling ways that Christ displays his love for the lost is for his disciples to bear witness to him while suffering for his sake. Look at verses 17 through 20. He says, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. God loves sinners so much that he is willing to allow his children to be hated, to be oppressed, to be insulted, to be rejected, or even murdered, in order that unbelievers might be able to witness their devotion to Christ in the midst of their suffering. This is by Christ's design. Look at the first part of verse 16 again. He says, behold, I am sending you. In other words, we don't fall into persecution by accident. It is by Christ's design, his intentional will. Notice also verse 19 and 20. That God will help his disciples to speak powerfully while suffering for his sake. The help that God gives us in speaking powerfully for his sake is not to help us escape persecution. Rather, it is to help us bear powerful witness to Christ in front of our persecutors while we suffer at their hands. Now, if you think this is unfair of God to send you out among wolves to suffer, remember that Jesus suffered the vicious attacks before us, and he did so in our place. Look at verses 24 and 25. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, which is Satan, how much more will they malign those of his household? You know, sometimes I sit at my desk and I write out different approach lines to start a good gospel discussion. You know, the hardest part of evangelism for me is the first 10 seconds. You know, once I can engage with someone, then we're off to the races. I'm in my comfort zone. Once we get past that initial opening statement. And I'd like to think that I could find such a nice approach that an unbeliever would thank me for evangelizing them. But then I consider the ministry of our Lord Jesus. There was no error in his teaching. His approach towards unbelievers was perfect, without fault. Yet he was hated. He was called not just a follower of Satan, but Satan himself. And in one day, 5,000 of his followers turned away from him. John chapter 6, at the very end. Such that he asked his disciples, "Are you going to leave as well?" And Peter famously answered, "To whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." So Jesus is saying that suffering setbacks in ministry or in our efforts to tell people about Jesus Christ, that these setbacks should not surprise us. In fact, we should expect persecution of some kind. This can be quite discouraging. And Jesus knew that we'd be tempted to discouragement. At our prayer meeting on Wednesday morning, as we were meeting, I confessed to the guys I was a bit discouraged. Didn't know what God was doing. And I'd kind of hit this little low point. Their prayers were so encouraging to me. And so Jesus here says, you're going to have difficulty when you try and minister the gospel. Not just the ministers, but for all of God's children as they seek to minister the gospel faithfully. He knew we'd be tempted to discouragement, so he didn't end his sermon to his disciples at verse 25. Rather, verses 26 through 33 are some of the more encouraging words in the whole New Testament. And so he says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." In verse 26, Jesus is telling them that they should pin their hopes on the day of judgment. Because on the day of judgment, every insult, every injustice, every oppression, every act of malice will be brought into the full light of God's justice. Listen to Psalm 37, and I'm only quoting part of it. The whole psalm could really be read. The psalmist says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way or over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to break down the poor and needy and slay those whose way is upright. But their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. And we may suffer at the hands of the unrighteous, but God in His mercy will bring everything to light. As He says here in verse 26, nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known on the great and awesome day of the Lord. The Apostle Paul picks up on what Jesus is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "Do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things that are now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." Our poor brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering, who have lost property, who have lost loved ones, who have lost their finances, who have lost even their own life. On the great and awesome day of the Lord Himself will give them His commendation. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I think what Jesus is saying here is think in ultimate terms. Think of that ultimate day when you're suffering in the here and now. In fact, think of God, because He is our ultimate. God is greater than the wickedness of man. We can be threatened with loss of property. We can be threatened with loss of reputation. Our character can be maligned, and our lives can be made to be a living nightmare. But God will make everything right. The vicious wolves may even kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. We must wait patiently upon the Lord. We must entrust ourselves and entrust our family and entrust our livelihood to God. That's what our poor brothers and sisters around the world are doing, who are standing up in the face of intense persecution. They must not shrink back in proclaiming Jesus Christ, neither must we. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, "What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." In other words, we are to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim it faithfully. We are to proclaim it in the face of opposition. Brothers and sisters, God is with us. He is the sovereign God. He dearly loves His children. Verses 29 and 30 tell us so. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." God has promised to spread His providential care over every soul that belongs to Him. Nothing can happen in this world without His permission. There is no such thing as chance. There is no such thing as a bare accident. There is no such thing as luck, bad, good, or otherwise. God's watch care is so vigilant over us that even the hairs of our head are all numbered. Because the likelihood of suffering, we'd like to think that bearing witness to Christ is discretionary or optional, but it isn't. Look at verses 32 and 33. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." It seems a bit harsh. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. But Christ has His hand upon us. He is worthy of our trust, even when the anger of man is rising against us. So let us treasure Christ. Let us pursue His cause with zeal, and be not afraid to demonstrate our love for Christ before a watching world. that hates us. He will keep us despite our temptations to shrink back in the face of persecution. For he has promised in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or danger or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that he will keep us? Do you believe that God will keep our poor brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering persecution for their faith? Do you believe that he will keep them? If you do, join us this evening as we lift up our prayers to God in their behalf. Jesus said that he is sending us out among wolves. He also said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Such is his love for his own. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, our great shepherd of the sheep, we ask that you would help us to be faithful in proclaiming your glorious gospel, to be faithful in proclaiming your perfect life, your substitutionary death, your glorious resurrection, and your gospel that you give to all who trust in you. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that they would not shrink back, but they would be as wise as serpents while at the same time being innocent as doves, and help them to proclaim you. But we also at the same time, Lord, as we are fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, fellow believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for their safety. We pray for you to wrap them under the cover of your outstretched wings, that you would shelter them in the day of trouble. God, we ask that you would be with those, especially in that 1040 window that stretches right across the middle of the earth, from Africa all the way over to Indonesia. Lord, we ask that you would give them your extra special care. And Lord, we ask that, as church history has taught us that the blood of the saints is the seed of the church, I pray that every ounce of blood that has been shared, that every insult, every act of oppression would be seed that you would plant deeply in those nations to raise up other Christians. Lord, we look forward to that day when all nations will gather under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, when every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Do it, Lord. Do it quickly. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.